Hello, my name is Rob Grace, and welcome to the Barking Toad Trivial Pursuit podcast, or BTTPP, the podcast where normally Matt McCauley and I take a random Trivial Pursuit question card, go away, do some research, and come back with some facts, some nonsense, and everything in between. I say normally because for this Christmas special, we've done it slightly differently, which will become obvious when we get going. So grab some eggnog, get into your Christmas jumper, and enjoy the BTTPP Christmas special, part one. Ladies and gentlemen, a very Merry Christmas from the Barking Toad team, which is me, Rob Grace, and on the other end of the line from his home is...
me, Jingling Matt McCauley.
Yes, hello, Mr. Matt McCauley.
Hello!
I'm going to say Merry Christmas, even though we're recording this on the 29th of December, so officially Christmas has been and gone, but I'm going to say Merry Christmas anyway, because I feel we should do.
Merry Christmas!
Yeah. And for our listeners, this is is the Barking Toad Trivial Pursuit podcast Christmas special. So we've done season one. Season one's in the bag. We're just doing a Christmas special. As I said, it's the 29th of January. Not 29th of January. Not far.
It's not that
29th
late.
29th of December. And we're recording our Christmas special. And it is all about things Christmas. So slightly different to what we normally do, where normally we would take a Trivial Pursuit card and go through all the questions and we'd go away and research them and come back with our answers. We would be very fortunate to pull a Trivial Pursuit card out that was all about Christmas. So we've sort of made up our own thing. So what we've done is we've taken the categories as they stand. So blue, which is normally geography, is going to be Christmas around the world. Pink, which is normally entertainment, will be Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Yellow, which is history, will be the history of the nativity. So we thought we'd bring that in somewhere. Purple, art and literature. So we've gone Christmas decorations. So they can be quite arty. I think there's a good link there, isn't there? Green.
Oh, I get that. I wondered about that one, but I see it now. Yeah.
There you go. See, it's the decorations. It's the artistic nature of decorations. Green, which is normally science and nature, is going to be Father Christmas facts, because obviously Father Christmas is absolutely real in scientific terms.
That was another one that was confusing me.
Yeah, I defy anybody to tell me that Father Christmas doesn't exist. And orange, which is sport and leisure. And as we know from previous issues of BTTPP, the questions are generally so far from sport and leisure, it's unbelievable. So we've gone with Christmas food. So that's the link there. So a very Merry Christmas to all our listeners. If you are listening, if you're going to hold off and listen to this in December 2021, Merry Christmas for 2021. And I hope this year has been better than the year we're currently in.
Hope the world's still there.
Yes, exactly. One seasonal thing, though, we are recording this and it's snowing outside. So...
it's not
good.
Here. We've had the snow. It's come and gone.
No, we're having big flurries where I am. So yeah, that's good. Right. So, should we crack on? Should we make this? Okay. So you got your bag of wedges with you, I believe.
I do. Shall I pull the first wedge?
Take the first wedge and see where that.
Pulling the first wedge now. And the first wedge is blue.
Blue. Oh, right at the start. Top of the shop. Geography. Christmas around the world.
Hey.
Excellent. So give us what you got with that then, Mr. McCauley.
Got loads. I've got lots of different Christmas traditions, what people do all around the world.
I've got a sneaky suspicion that we might come up with a few similar ones, and I'm going to be so disappointed if you come up with my favourite one. But
okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
I love it. I'm trying to figure out which one will be your favourite one now. Okay, so I have got... I'll start off with Norway.
Okay, yep.
Because that, on Christmas Eve, it is traditional in Norway for people to hide brooms all around their house before they go to bed.
I saw that one, yeah.
Yeah, and that is so witches can't get them and fly off with them.
Yeah, because that's a known risk at Christmas, isn't it?
It's you need to clear the air for Santa, don't you? You can't have witches flying around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure about it, to be honest. I think it's ludicrous. Because I think, just get your brooms, leave them outside, Norwegian people. Because just get the witches to grab the brooms and just sod off. You do not want angry witches all around your house looking for brooms.
No, I suppose there is. Yeah, if there's a risk of them being stolen, make it easier for them.
Yeah.
Is that the theory? Yeah.
That's it. I wouldn't be sleeping well if I felt there was a coven of angry witches going through my drawers at night.
Hey, see, so, I'm not sure I would mind a coven of anything going through my drawers at night. See?
A whole coven? Blimey.
Yeah. Get it while you can, that's what I say.
So that's one.
Yeah.
This one I'm sure you'll know about. This is in Germany and Austria. They have the Krampus.
The Krampus, yes. Have you seen the film, The Krampus?
Not yet, but I'm looking forward to watching
it. That's a good film, that is. That's one to... It's not one for Christmas spirit. I think it's like 3 months too late. Should be a Halloween one. It's a good film.
I am going to watch that. And because the Krampus is a scary, hairy, horned beast with hooves.
Which... Sounds very much like me on Christmas morning.
Yeah. The hooves are impractical, I guess.
But I mean, well, in the snow, they wouldn't be, would they?
Yeah, but if you've only got two legs, you don't want to be hopping around on hooves, do you?
I suppose so, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, the Krampus teams up with Santa in a kind of pursuit festive good cop, bad cop double act. And the idea is Santa brings presents, but Krampus, if you're naughty, will eat you.
It's all a bit grim, that, isn't it?
There's a lot of children eating going on. Throughout all the ones I found, there's a lot of children eating.
Yeah, I came across that. It's a little bit concerning, isn't it? That
it also makes me worry just how bad are Austro-Bavarian children. That,
well, can I just sort of suggest? Well, probably the worst man ever came from Austria.
Well, that is true.
but he got away from Krampus, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Krampus had a blind spot for him.
He obviously did, yeah.
But they must be quite naughty. If, just because, like, in the UK, you just told Santa's not going to bring any presents.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Or an extreme case, you'll get a lump of coal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's not good enough for them. They need this kind of threat of a demonic child-eating anti-Santa to keep them on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, yeah.
And on Krampus night, men dress up as the devil, get drunk, and run around hitting people with sticks.
See, none of that just is festive at all, is it?
No. When is Krampus night?
I don't know.
Every night in Swindon.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's all a bit violent, isn't it? I'm not taken with the whole Krampus thing, I must admit.
No. Then there's Venezuela.
Oh, what have you got on Venezuela?
Christmas Eve, parents tie bits of string around their children's toes and dangle the string out of the window. Then on Christmas morning, all the traffic stopped. People go to church on roller skates and pull the strings as they pass.
Now, that's interesting. I heard about the roller skates. Excuse me, I'm eating an olive at the moment, which is why I might sound a bit odd. I heard about the roller skates, but the string out of the window, that's what's that? Is that to wake the children up, to get them out of bed?
If your string is still there, it means you're being a lazy child.
Ah.
So you need a good toe tugging.
But how many children do you know that would still be asleep on Christmas morning?
None.
Not many. Not many at all. I mean, my children are quite good. I must admit, the older they've got as well, the better they are at giving me a bit of a lie-in. They were good this year. They're teenagers now, though, so sleep.
It gets better, doesn't it?
Yeah, sleep is more important to them than the present, so yeah.
I've got in Estonia, where a whole families take a naked sauna on Christmas Eve before going to church.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, one for when you've got the in-laws around.
I was going to say, naked sauna with granny, that would be, dear me. Imagine you come out and say, oh, look how wrinkly I'm on, like granny. Look, she looks just like it, and she hasn't even got in yet.
I feel a bit ill now. Talking of granny,
yeah,
in South Africa, a little boy called Danny was apparently caught eating Santa's cookies by his grandmother.
Right.
So as a punishment, she killed him.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. And now he haunts naughty children at Christmas time.
Extreme, isn't it?
Yep.
Nick granny's cookies, so she killed him.
South African punishment.
Bloody hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of threats of violence against children,
isn't it? It's full of it. And I think I know why. I think it's because it all stems from the fact that the solstice, the midwinter, was probably quite a dangerous time at one point. And so you had all these kind of mythical threats to keep children in particular indoors safe at that time. That's what I reckon anyway.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good theory, because I look at the whole Christmas thing and I think to myself, everybody thinks how wonderful it is for children, but firstly, you scare the crap out of them by, in some instances, saying Krampus is going to come and get you, or just annoying by saying, well, if you haven't been a good boy or girl, then you're not going to get any presents this year. Oh, and by the way, the person who's going to send you these presents is a big fat man who's going to come down the chimney and drop these things off. And it's just full of lies, deceit and violence, isn't it, Christmas?
It is, yeah. And housebreaking.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Mm-hmm. But we all love it, don't we?
Yeah.
That's what we have parties for.
I've got loads more.
Mm.
We've not even got to my favourite yet.
Go on, then.
In Eastern Europe, if you're born on Christmas Day, you'll be a werewolf.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a new one. Go on. Yeah.
Yeah, because your birth on Christmas Day is an insult to Jesus.
Is that right?
And so you're cursed.
Werewolf is specific, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Funny enough, I was watching the Hammer film a couple of weeks ago, The Curse of the Werewolf.
Yeah.
And it said it on that too. And I thought,
I've never heard that before.
They made that up, but I did a bit of research, and it is true. That is a genuine thing.
I've never heard that.
As genuine as werewolves can be, you know.
Well, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
My son was born on Christmas Day, and haven't noticed any particular abundance of hair yet.
No hairy palms or anything like that.
Howling nothing like that. Not yet, but he's only 13, so.
Well, there's time yet then.
Yeah. I was 15 before I got the hairy palms.
Been trying to get rid of them ever since.
Yeah. In Greece, you've got the Kalikantzaroi.
No, don't know that one. Carry on.
They're goblins who live underground, and they come out during the 12 days of Christmas to piss in your flower beds.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what you need, isn't it?
That's what any goblin's going to do. But they can be warded off. Can you guess how you'd ward off these goblins?
How do you ward off a pissing goblin? I don't know. Go on.
Okay. They hate the lower jaw of a pig or tangled string.
Okay. I've got a joke about a goblin. This didn't come out of the cracker. Do you want to hear this? Like walking down the road and he sees this little creature with his head in his hands. And he says to him, excuse me, are you a goblin? He said, no, I just got a headache.
That's awful.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I should have come out of cracker, but it didn't. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. Glamorgan, a scary horse, comes round carol singing at Christmas.
A scary horse?
Scary horse.
Okay. It's weird. There are some weird people out there coming up with these things, aren't there?
There are, yeah. And these are things that go back years and years and years.
Yeah.
Another Scandinavian one.
Yeah.
Yultant Tomti.
Okay, what's this?
These are goblins, basically toddler-sized old men.
Right.
That in itself is quite scary.
That is. That reminds me of a film. Have you ever seen the film? And I can't remember what it's called now, but it's got Donald Sutherland in it, and he's looking for his missing child, and he keeps seeing her around Venice in a red Mack. But when she finds her, she's a little old lady. And I can't remember what it's called. It's a real tense thriller, and it's horrible.
That'll come to me at some point. I'll remember the name of that at some point.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it?
I'll have a look. Carry on. What was that called, by the way?
Yultant Tomte.
Yultant Tomte.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And what they do, these toddler-sized old men, is they protect your home all year for the price of a bowl of porridge.
Oh, okay.
That you give them at Christmas. But if you don't pay up, they'll have your cow. It's like a protection racket, really, isn't it?
What if you don't have a cow?
I don't know. Not a clue what they'll do then.
Oh, dear. So it's just that you just pay them in porridge?
Yeah, give them a bowl of porridge, put it out for them once a year.
Okay.
And if, they'll have it, and if not, they'll have your cow instead.
So in all fairness, then, it's not a hefty price, is it? I mean, you talk about like a protection racket, but... Yeah, I mean, we're not
good
talking.
Deal.
Yeah, we're not talking. Pay us 250 quid a month, and we'll burn your bar down. It's not one of those, is it?
No.
Yeah, I could cope with giving a bowl of porridge, ain't? That'd be worth it to protect my cow.
I think that's a very good deal you've got there.
Yeah.
In Alsace, there's a chap called Hans Trapp, who is a devil-worshipping cannibal. And guess who he goes around eating?
Children?
Naughty children, yeah.
Ah, there's a theme here, isn't there?
There is,
Yeah, there's another one that you haven't come up with I've got on my list that also involves killing children, so.
Oh, right, okay. And in Iceland, this is my second favourite.
Go on, then.
Iceland, there is where I went on my honeymoon, which is a fantastic place. There's an old hag called Gryla.
And that's the one that was on my list that you hadn't said.
Ah,
there
right,
we go.
Okay. and she had three husbands.
Yeah.
And 80 kids.
Right.
Real Jeremy Carr stuff.
I haven't got that detail, but yeah.
Yeah. And they love stewed children.
Right.
But amongst her kids are the Yule lads.
Mm. Yeah, I got the Yule lads.
Yeah, so you've got the sheep warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his gangly stiff legs.
Yeah, the bowl licker.
Yeah, bowl licker. The bowl licker, and the pot licker.
Yeah.
And the spoon licker. They're better than a washing up machine, aren't they?
Certainly sounds it, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all called Zanussi.
Yeah. Pot licker, apparently he loves the crunchy bits around the rim.
I got pot scraper. That might be the same thing.
It probably is, yeah.
There's 13 of them, aren't there?
Have you got, let's see, we've got the sheep warrior who sneaks up on sheep and suckles their milk.
That's a bit, yeah.
He's got gangly stiff legs.
Well, you would do if you were a sheep warrior, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Sausage stealer.
I got sausage swiper, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got meat hook.
Meat hook?
Yeah.
Okay.
Door sniffer. It's weird.
The window licker.
No. I think they ate him. Got window peeper.
Oh, it's just all wrong, isn't it? And this is Christmas.
I know. And the Yule cat. They've got a big cat that goes round, and guess what the cat does?
He eats children. Yeah. I've got that.
So we've got all that, and then my favourite.
I've got a sneaky suspicion you're going to do it. You're going to come up with my favourite.
Is it from Catalonia?
It is, you bastard.
Finally, I get my revenge.
I've got nothing left.
Log, isn't it?
I got nothing left. Yeah. Yeah, the cagatillo.
Yeah, a hollow log with a cheeky face.
Yeah.
And I love this idea. As you get closer to Christmas, each day you feed it on a daily basis with nuts and sweets.
Mm.
Then on Christmas Day, everybody sings, let's see, poop log, hazelnuts and cottage cheese. If you don't poop, we'll hit you with a stick. Not sure what the tune is, but I like it.
Yeah, I've got, if you don't crap well, I'll beat you with a stick.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. And then they all gather around it, hit it with sticks, ordering it to shit until it's empty.
Yeah.
Which it's is great, the way my wife's family deal with Uncle Rob's traditional bout of Christmas constipation.
Oh. What makes me laugh about that is they also have, within their nativity scenes, they have small pooping ceramic figures.
I've got that in my decorations.
Yeah, they're called Kaganers.
Yeah. Little shitting man.
Yeah, yeah. And then they're normally taken from, like, the news from the previous year. And they're all in the nativity scene with their pants around their ankles.
Yeah. But I think I remember watching that on Eurotrash many years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now there was a programme.
It was.
That was fun. I used to love that programme. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, so that was my favourite fact too. I do apologize. I'm still eating these olives. They've gone very Moorish on me. I need to stop.
Yeah. You're going to have some very fluid movements, I imagine.
I am indeed. I am. So was that it? Was that your around the world facts? Well, yeah. I can only add two to that, because I did see a number of the ones that you came up with. But the only two that I've got that weren't on your list.
Mm-hmm.
One is from Guatemala.
Okay.
Where they do a thing called La Quema del Diablo, or the burning of the devil. And basically what they do is, the week leading up to Christmas, they believe that evil spirits and the devil live in the corners of rooms and things like that. So they have a big clear out, and they sweep all of the rubbish out from the house, and they pile it up, and they stick an effigy of the devil on top, and they burn the lot. And essentially what they're doing is trying to get rid of all of the crap from the previous year, and the new year basically grows from the ashes of that, and they've burnt the devil.
So, I like that.
Yeah. And
apart
it does
from...
Yeah, no, carry on.
There's a bit of that really pisses me off, because it's a sort of thing that parents say to kids to get them to do tidying up and stuff.
Yeah.
In the hope that it'll make it kind of fun and interesting, yeah. And it's just tidying up.
Yeah, the devil
so
and the evil spirits are in your bedroom.
A little
yeah.
bit.
Although I must admit, knowing what my bedroom was like when I was younger, I would not be at all surprised if the devil wasn't living under my bed. it wasn't pleasant under there. But I like that one. And also, that one doesn't involve children being brutally murdered or eaten or whatever. And the other one, this one could have come into two categories. This could have come into the food one. And I think I might have had it in the food one, but I've done this as a tradition mm-hmm. around the world, which is about Japan. Because only 1% of Japan is Christian, they don't necessarily celebrate Christmas as we do in the West. But thanks to a very successful marketing campaign called Kurisumasu Niwa Kentucky, or Kentucky yep. for Christmas, which started in 1974, Japanese families go to KFC for their Christmas meal. And it's so popular that they sometimes have to order their boxes months in advance, or they have to stand in like a 2-hour long queue for their Christmas yep. lunch. So that's one off your
I'm
list,
just crossing
is it?
This off my orange list.
Excellent. Okay. I'm
You've
glad
got a stealth
I,
one there, haven't you?
I've slipped one in there. Yeah. Yeah. I'm quite pleased that I've managed to screw you up, because you took my favorite defecating log away from me. So that's it. So yeah, that was and actually when there were a few facts I got coming up could drop into this Christmas around the world thing, but yeah, that was it. That was where we came to. And I like that. There's some good stuff, and there's some fucking weird people out there, aren't there?
There are.
Yeah. That's midwinter solstices for you.
Well, I think it's because paganism is so broad a church. So
yes. Yeah.
So you get all these ancient traditions that are kind of just all merged with Christianity into this kind of mad Christmas mush.
Yeah, a proper miasma. Excellent. Okay, so should we go with the next?
Yeah, go on.
Next cheese. Okay, right. So we've had blue. I'm digging in. And we have got green, which Woo! Is Father Christmas facts.
The fat Excellent. Man.
Right. Let me call up my... Oh, there we go. My facts. So I've got a few facts on here. And they are facts because obviously Father Christmas does exist.
Yep.
So, have you heard of the Forbes list of
no?
Right. So the Forbes Rich List is basically a list of the most wealthy people in the world, and they publish it every year.
Right. Okay.
And there was a time, I think between something like 2003 and 2013, they published the Forbes Fictional 15. Which is basically the rich list of the top 15 fictional characters. All right. So, to mm-hmm. give you an example, 2005 list read in reverse order. So, at number 15 was Lucius Malfoy, then Cruella de Vil.
Okay.
Lara Croft.
Yep.
Ebenezer Scrooge. Arthur Bach,
right.
Which is Bach or Bach is that Arthur from the film Arthur with Dudley Moore? Would he
Dustin Dudley Moore?
Dudley Moore, yeah. What did I say? Yeah, Dudley Moore. Be. Yeah. Anyway,
I said Dustin Hoffman by accident.
Oh, okay. Willy Wonka is at number 10. Thurston Howell III is at 9. Don't know who that is. Bruce Wayne number 8. Jed Clampett is 7. 6 is Scrooge McDuck. 5, C. Montgomery Burns. 4, Lex Luthor. 3, Richie Rich. 2, Oliver Daddy Warbucks. And at number 1 is Santa Claus. Now, what happened in 2006, Santa Claus was dropped from the Forbes Fictional 15 because there were too many letters sent into them to say he's not fictional, he's real. So he was dropped from the list. So
I should think so too.
Yeah. So in 2013, the list was I'll do the top 10 from 2013. Number 10, C. Montgomery Burns. 9, yep. Tywin Lannister. 8, Christian Grey. 7, Richie Rich again. 6, Bruce Wayne. 5, Charles Foster Kane. 4, Tony Stark. 3, Carlisle Cullen. 2, Smaug. And 1, Scrooge McDuck. So Scrooge McDuck made it to number 1.
I'm glad.
Yeah, and I was intrigued with this one about how Santa Claus would be in it, even if he was a fictional character, because there's a bit of me that's thinking, well, where would he make his money? He gives things away. People
he
don't
inherited
give
it. Things, it must have been.
But people don't give things to him, do they? I mean, there's nothing within the story of Santa Claus which says that, for the rest of the year he was trading shares on the Hang Seng and made a mint. It's just he gives stuff away. So actually, it should diminish his wealth because he's a huge philanthropist, isn't he?
But he might have his savings in high interest accounts.
I suppose so, yeah. He might have a few ices. Hey, ice!
hey!
On the snowy theme. So, fact number 2 about Father Christmas. He's a bit of a speed mm-hmm. demon. Somebody's done the calculation about how quick he would need to travel around the world to deliver all his presents. So, They've come up with the fact there's roughly 2.1 billion children in the world, and an average of 2.5 children per household. So that means he has to make around about 842 million stops on Christmas Eve, and he's got 31 hours to do it because of the time zone differences. And it's been calculated to get to every house in that time period, his sleigh needs to move at 1,800 miles per second. Now, you compare that to NASA's Juno spacecraft, which has been considered the fastest man-made object, that only reaches a speed of 40 miles per second. So it's a difference between 40 miles a second and 1,800. So there's a lot going on there, isn't there?
And so, some of those are very short hops too, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So, you think if that's the average speed, there's certain times where he's really cranking up that speed.
Yeah.
I wonder whether that red suit that he's got on is actually one of those compression suits that they have in aircraft. So he's actually a very small man, really, just pumped up compression.
It's all compression. He's got no windscreen either, has he? I worry for him.
Oh, that's some blast from the G-forces going on there, isn't it? Do you know the person who decided that Father Christmas... I can't speak. That's the trouble between Christmas and New Year. I lose all ability to do anything. Do you know who the person was who decided that Father Christmas visited down the chimney? Where that came from?
Who was it?
It was Washington Irving. So he is the man. He's the guy who did Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
Right. But he reckoned that there was a short story in 1812 called Knickerbocker's History of New York, where he had Father Christmas described as rattling down the chimney to bring his yearly presents to children. And a lot of people think originally it came from the "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," but that was released 12 years after this poem. So it was actually Washington Irving.
Right.
And actually people don't know where "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" came from. Who wrote that originally?
So no, that's...
Nice little sidebar fact.
But he was Irving was really interested in the first Dutch settlers, wasn't he? He was.
I'll take your word for that. You obviously know him a lot more than I do.
So yeah, he would have studied quite carefully all their beliefs and kind of put them together into
Right. So is that why Sleepy Hollow is based around that?
Yes.
That clan of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is an interesting one, my final Father Christmas fact. The writers at Insure.com thought that Santa deserved a wage, so they calculated what his potential earnings should be using wage data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And this is in dollars, but it was their guess was around about $140,000 a year, right? Now, they did survey. They did this survey with people from Insure.com. And interestingly enough, the same percentage of people thought that Santa should earn around $1.8 billion annually as thought that he should do it pro bono. So 29% of the people thought he should get $1.8 billion, and 29% people thought he should get nothing. I'll leave it to your imaginations to work out who the Republican voters were and how that correlates. There's a smaller fraction, 17%, thought that it should be little less than $100,000 a year, and 16% thought his salary should be somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000 a year. So it's interesting what people think he's worth. Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, he's not going to have to buy food, is he? Because he gets fed on Christmas Eve enough to last an entire lifetime. But it's interesting that some people think
he
should get...
he's fine.
Yeah. Some people think he should be Jeff Bezos, and other people think that he should just shut up and get on with it. So, yeah, those were my Santa facts.
I like it. I like how you sort of pointed out that we know that Father Christmas is real. And I can provide even more evidence.
Excellent. Well, I've actually seen him. Have you seen him?
I haven't with my own eyes.
I've seen him. So I've seen him.
Telly.
Yeah, no, I've seen him when we went to Finland. We went skiing in Finland between Christmas and New Year a few years ago with our children. And we went to see Santa Claus. And he obviously was looking rather exhausted and a little bit worn out in his cabin in the woods. But yeah.
Yeah. all those children he's eaten.
That's what it was. No, he doesn't eat them. Don't be silly.
Oh, no, he doesn't. Of course not.
It's Krampus and the cat and
everybody else.
Lads and everybody else who does that. So what did you have then?
So I've got evidence that Santa is real simply because of the number of times he's been arrested.
Okay.
So he was arrested for fighting during the Santa Sales Inn event in Great Yarmouth in 2000.
Excellent.
Apparently, it says children dissolved into tears as they watched Santa trade blows with a teenager in the market square.
That's got nothing to do with it. If children are dissolving, that'll be down to Krampus.
Yeah. he likes children milkshakes now.
Yeah.
Santa was caught drink driving in a G-string and a lacy red camisole in Florida.
What time of year?
I couldn't
that
tell
would be,
you.
That would be great if it was in July or something, wouldn't it?
he was also arrested for hugging children in Clement E. Taylor Park.
Clement E. Taylor Park. That's got to be in the States as well, isn't it?
It's got to be somewhere, yeah.
So he was arrested for hugging children.
Yeah, parents saw, didn't like it. He turned up. Apparently, he'd had a few too many sherries.
Right.
And he turned up, walked into a park, and started hugging children, asking them if they'd seen his reindeer.
Oh dear.
God knows where that was going.
So it wasn't like wholly inappropriate, but inappropriate nonetheless.
It could have been heading that way.
Yeah, yeah.
In 2011. He was arrested for taking a dump in a public park.
When you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah.
He's better than going down the chimney.
He moves that fast sometimes.
He should have gone to Catalan. They would have loved it. Father Christmas has taken a shit down our chimney. Yay!
And this year, he killed 18 residents of a care home in Belgium just by visiting them.
Oh, what? COVID?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's horrible, isn't
that's
it? Really?
That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a nice fact, is it?
That's not a nice fact. So I've kind of looked at all that and I've tried to kind of reconcile that, all those arrests, with what we know about Father Christmas or Saint Nicholas.
Yeah.
And it makes sense really, because he was nice in some ways. He brought back to life three young boys who, during a famine in Myra, wherever that is, they were butchered and pickled by a local innkeeper. So
right.
He brought them back to life. So he had his nice side.
Is this another one of those saintly miracles that didn't happen?
Yeah, one of them.
One of them.
He also, a bit like the rector of Stiffkey, remember him?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Saint Nick liked to look after prostitutes.
Well, don't we all?
But
when you say look after,
Well, I had this down in my decorations facts, but I happily discuss it now. That these young ladies who were from a very poor family, a single parent family, their mother had died, and it looked like that they were destined for a life of prostitution. And one night when they hung their stockings up to dry by the fire, he poured gold coins down the chimney so that they filled the stockings up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he was also a bit leery. I mean, he knocked out another bishop during an argument.
Did he?
And he was known for being a bit of a fighter.
Excellent.
So much so that in the 14th century, teachers would dress as Saint Nick and beat up the kids who weren't achieving their FFT targets.
Is that right?
That is, yeah. Underperforming kids got beaten up by the teachers dressed as Father Christmas.
What is wrong with these people?
So that's my Father Christmas fact.
That's excellent. I like that. I did find somewhere, I haven't written it down, but I did find out what St. Nicholas was also the patron saint for. And he's a patron saint for loads of things. I think fallen women was one of them that I saw. So the prostitute side of thing works well. I'll see. Well, we'll carry this on. I'll see if I can find the other thing. There's a great long list of all of these things. So yeah, excellent. Father Christmas is done.
Yeah.
Cool.
He is now.
He is now, yeah. So I think it's you to pull the next piece of cheese.
Pulling my wedge right now. Yellow.
Ah, here we go. Now, for an RE teacher and the son of a vicar, this should have been easy. Pray for you, because we've got the history of the nativity.
It was, but the trouble is I didn't know where to stop.
No, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Yeah, I find it quite tricky to sort of break through things that just weren't everything everybody knows about the nativity. But anyway, yeah, carry on with where you went with this.
Okay, so when we're talking about the nativity, we are really talking about the birth of Jesus.
Yeah.
And of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's only mentioned in two of the Gospels.
Yes, yeah.
And that's because, by and large, it just wasn't considered an important event for most people back then. So it wouldn't have been recorded at the time, and, you know, births tended not to be things that were celebrated much.
Yeah.
But it's noteworthy that the two Gospels, it was Matthew and Luke that reference it. Each of the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they had different audiences that they were writing for. So, for instance, Mark was writing for a Roman audience. Matthew was writing for a Jewish audience, Luke was writing for Greeks, and John was writing for pretentious twats. the type who do cryptic crosswords, those, because like John's gospel is full of like double, triple meanings. And
what are you trying to say? Stuff. I like a cryptic crossword. I'm doing the giant cryptic crossword in the New Scientist, I'll have you know.
You'll love John's gospel then.
I don't think I will. Anyway, carry on.
So, yeah, so the two Gospels that the birth of Jesus is in is Matthew and Luke. And there isn't much at all in Matthew. It just says Jesus was born in a house in Bethlehem. But what it does do is it kind of illustrates Jesus' family tree.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes it through the kind of the various different prophecies of the Old Testament, and using lots of quotes from Old Testament to say to Jews, look, this is definitely your Messiah. And they I think Matthew saw him very much as kind of Moses Mark 2.
Okay.
Which is why you get that weird little story that you don't get anywhere else about King Herod trying to kill all the babies.
Yeah.
That's a deliberate nod to Moses being saved from another murderous tyrant.
Okay.
You've got all that in there. Whereas Luke, he wrote for Greeks, and Greeks actually loved shepherds. Because shepherds were a symbol of a kind of a golden age of peace and harmony. So that's why you get the shepherds involved. Whereas the Jewish people, they were like, oh, shepherds, dirty, horrible people. But that's why you've got that in Luke. And in Luke, Jesus' family tree goes right back to Adam to say that Jesus is for all human beings, not just the Jews.
Yeah.
So you've got all stuff like that. But there's something that has always really irritated me about nativity plays.
Go on then.
And that is the unnecessary characters.
Yeah.
And the one that really gets my goat is this bloody innkeeper and his wife.
Yeah. No room in the inn. Yeah.
Yeah, because the word inn translates not as... They didn't have the idea of hostelries back then. In fact,
you're stealing my bloody fact. I knew you'd do this.
Okay.
No, carry on. It's one less you need to bore people with.
The inn was either a guest area or the living area in the house.
Yeah.
Most people kept animals. So because there was no room in the living area, obviously because they'd all gone back to their family, where their families came from, so people were staying with relatives. So that's why Jesus would have been placed in a manger, because he would have been in the area where the animals were.
Yeah, I also have it as well, but it's there's also evidence in the Bible, because in Luke 22, where it says about Jesus eating with the disciples, he uses a different word for an inn or a public lodging house than he does in the Nativity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing, of course, is the animals weren't there. And with this thing about shepherds out in fields, which is dubious at best, but if it was true, shepherds wouldn't have been out in the fields in the middle of winter.
Well, that's the suggestion that he wasn't actually born in the winter.
No, I mean, if he was born when shepherds were out in the fields, that would put it kind of springtime when the sheep were having their babies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I mean, this is the problem. I could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it is one of those things you think, well, he could have been born in the spring, which gave a bit of credence to the fact that the shepherds were about. And also the fact that the reason that we celebrate it in December is because it's a winter solstice. In the West, and we've just overlaid different things to try to justify having this in the middle of winter. So,
that was the Romans.
Yeah,
they were really clever. That they did that a lot. They popped their festivals on top of ones that people were already having.
Is it like Mithras was a big. The Mithraists, I think it is. There's a lot of correlation between what they celebrate and what they believed as to the early Christian faith, the way that they celebrated certain things throughout the year. I may have made that up, but I think that's.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Because it all stems from the Dark Ages, doesn't it? A lot of the traditions that we have now.
The word Easter comes from the goddess Astora.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. There we go. We're going to do an Easter special as well. Hold on to that fact. The only two other facts that I had on that one, if you're happy for me to go with those, is the fact that Joseph and Mary were very poor, which it comes from the fact that when they when they were went to make a sacrifice for the purification of the childbirth, it was normally a lamb, but they purchased a couple of turtle doves or two young pigeons, which was according to the law of Moses. So they were very poor because they wouldn't be able to afford a lamb, which makes you think that the shepherds weren't actually there and didn't donate a lamb. So in the bleak midwinter is a lot of...
Oh, there's that weird story, isn't there, about the switching of the lamb?
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
where that comes from. I don't think it's in any of the Gospels, is it?
But what, interestingly enough, the fact that they were able to escape to Egypt, there is a theory that when the Magi visited them and the Magi didn't visit the baby, they would have visited the toddler of Jesus. Because in Matthew 2:11, it describes Jesus as a child and living in a house when the Magi visited him. And the fact that Herod's calculation of the star was to kill all boys under 2 years old, which suggests that he was around about that age, but they were able to afford to run away to Egypt because of the gifts that the Magi had given them. So if they've been given gold, that was why they were able to escape to Egypt, because other than that, they would have been quite...
They'd have to spend it on something, because otherwise you could really argue that they didn't, considering they got that gold, they didn't really set Jesus up for a...
I mean, proper parents, they would have set him up with an ISA or a college fund or something like that early on, wouldn't they? Because what did he
do? Joseph, what did you do with that gold?
He inlaid it into a very nice sideboard that he made. That's what he did with all that gold. That was an interesting one to try to research, I think, the history of the Nativity, because it's so difficult to determine fact from fiction. Mm-hmm. What's been laid on us from tradition and what Christmas carols tell us and what the Bible tells us and all
the
other
thing
things.
That really irritates me is, have you ever tried following a star?
No.
I'll tell you where you end up, exactly where you started.
Yeah. Well, you don't need to move far, because following something is odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like saying that star's got an end destination, but it's always there, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you are, that star isn't moving. Anyway, so yeah, that was an interesting one to look at, but I think we'll move on, shall we?
Yes, let's move on.
Shall we move on? And that's it for part one. Join us again for part two, where we discuss Christmas food, decorations, and movies. Make sure you're following us on Mixcloud for all previous episodes and news of season two. You can also find other Barking Toad stuff on the Barking Toad Facebook page. And feel free to follow us on Twitter at BarkingToad.com. We'd love to hear what you think of the Barking Toad content, so let us know via any of our social media places. And tell your friends. Bye.